Thank you for joining us on the Halifax Daily News with your host, Jamie and Lisa.
Tuesday, May 13th, welcome to the Halifax Daily News.
And time for some tea, I dare say.
Yes, quiet.
Long weekend coming up this weekend, the Victoria Day weekend, and they're having...
Can you say weekend a few more times?
No, because it's only Tuesday and we're dying for it already. The Victoria Day...
Weekend?
Yeah, the Victoria Day weekend tea party is set for Monday, and tickets are $15. You can get them at the Uncommon Grounds Cafe right in the public gardens. Now, interestingly enough, they actually have the tea party at the Lord Nelson Hotel. Now, it might sound stuffy and boring to you because, yes, there's lots of fancy hats and the like.
Yes, having some tea at Lord Nelson.
I don't know if the royals are going to be a part of this or not.
Oh.
Because they are in town.
Oh, yes.
So I just put that out there.
High tea with Camilla. Mm. Yes.
But I dare say if you have a little girl kicking around your house, this is the ultimate afternoon out. If you have a little girl, say, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old.
And get her back to her parents. You really shouldn't have her.
They're looking for her,
damn it.
That's
right.
But no, this is the ultimate let's get all gussied up and go for tea. And they do it up big time. They have the savories and the petit fours, and they have a string quartet and $15 a ticket. It's a great afternoon out, and I don't have to worry about the rain because it's inside Lord Nelson Hotel. So now, here's an interesting thought for you.
Yes?
It would take 1.2 million mosquitoes, each sucking once, to completely drain the average human body of blood.
Or a weekend in Winnipeg.
Whichever you find more desirable.
No, you know what? It's not the mosquito situation around these parts, anyway. Mm. It's the black flies, and they're out. Somebody years ago once told me the black fly... he was drunk at the time, obviously. The black flies arrive on Mother's Day.
Right.
And they're gone on Father's Day.
Yeah.
And ever since then, every single year, he's right.
Pretty
he's
much
absolutely
bang on.
Right. I thought, wow, you know what? We're not going to get black flies this year. That's great. Mother's Day hit. Boom.
Bam. Yeah. And it doesn't matter that it's still going down around 1-2 degrees at night. They're still there.
Oh, no, they're here. They all have their calendars and they're going, look at this, Mother's Day. Hello.
We're in.
We have reservations in your backyard. And we'll be dining whenever you decide to mow the lawn.
Well, I think I may have found myself a job. Nova Scotia wineries have been invited to submit their best wines to be considered for a new award that'll be given out by the Lieutenant Governor. And it's called the Lieutenant Governor's Award for Excellence in Nova Scotia Wines. And basically, as long as you are a locally sourced and produced wine, you're in.
So you're going to apply for the job of Lieutenant Governor?
No. This is the part I'm applying for.
Okay.
Through a blind tasting, an independent panel of experts will select 3 to 5 wines as the best of Nova Scotia variety, regardless of variety or year.
There's a problem with that, though, Lisa. They won't let you look at the box. Notice how I said box?
You said box.
They won't let you sniff the screw cap on. Actually, you know what? That's no longer a sign of a cheapo wine.
I know.
You can get some pretty high quality wines now that are capped.
It's my understanding that it is better. It helps preserve the quality of the wine better than corks do now.
Better than, a system that they used to use back in medieval times? Yeah, I think so. Maybe modern technology has advanced us a little bit in the wine business.
Anyway, if you are interested in finding out more about this, winesofnovascotia.ca, and you have to have your bottles in for submission by May the 30th. All right, well, you may have noticed the new ferry bobbing along Harborside down at the Woodside Terminal.
I saw a picture of it in the paper, and it looks exactly the same as the other ferries.
It does, but it's about 30 years newer.
I mean, it was the same model, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and they wanted to design it so it would look similar to the ones that are already in service. I mean, they didn't want to stray too far. I mean, technologically speaking, it's got all the bells and whistles that are...
Oh, does it? Okay.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But the Christopher Stanix is now dockside at the Woodside Ferry Terminal. And coming up tomorrow, they're going to have a whole bunch of special events to sort of unveil it to the public. You're actually going to be invited.
See, that's what gets me. The big unveiling, everybody will go... Yeah, it's a ferry.
That's what it looks like.
It looks just like the one right beside it that we've been looking at for the last 50 years or whatever.
Well, starting at 11 o'clock until 1 p.m., you can take tours of it. And in celebration, it's going to be, all the ferries will be free.
Do they do that whenever they bring a new bus into the fold?
You know, not to my knowledge.
Yeah, we've parked it at Barrington Street. We're giving free tours. Everybody, come on aboard. Look at the seats. And over here is where you put the money. And that's about it. Mm. Please exit from the rear.
I saw something on Facebook the other day. I wonder how long it's going to be before we have debit on buses. Like, well, being able to pay your fare using your debit card, like just the tap. Because, I mean, the tap thing is already available.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing that has incorporated credit cards that's just great.
Mm.
Parkades. You know, the parkades that say, oh, no, you have to bring your ticket with you and then line up behind 100 people and then pay for it before you go back to your car. But by the time you get back to your car, the thing that you've just bought is out of date and they'll tell you you owe more. Like, what a pain in the ass that is. If you go into a parkade, and a lot of people don't know this, unless you do work in the downtown area, for instance, just stick your credit card in there. And that's it. You don't have to take a ticket with you. You don't have to do a damn thing. And then when you leave the parkade, stick the same credit card in there again, and it'll open the door.
And automatically charge your credit card.
Oh, do they? Oh, are they charging me for that? Oh,
you'll
forget
stick
it.
Anything that's, in any hole,
well,
won't you?
Well,
interesting that we're going to be seeing the debate about a CFL team in Halifax once again.
I think that we should work on getting a CFL team in Edmonton first. Stupid Eskimos. Okay, sorry. Keep on going.
It's okay. Economist Glenn Hodgson. Now, he wrote a book called Power Play that suggests that Halifax or Moncton could be the future home to Atlantic Canada's first CFL franchise. And he sees this as being a reality in a decade or less. He thinks that Halifax has more people. Well, he knows Halifax has more people.
He counted them.
Yes, one by one as they got on the bus. But what it lacks is a CFL quality facility.
Yeah,
now,
no kidding.
Moncton is smaller, but they do have a stadium that
no,
is...
No, they don't.
It's
a piece of crap. If we put a stadium with today's technology in there, it would eclipse anything this side of Montreal, and including Montreal, too.
That's fine if you've got between $200 and $300 million to spend.
We almost had one. All we needed was the Commonwealth Games. Don't get me started on that.
Basic bottom line, Moncton already has something in place that can seat 20 to 23,000 people.
20 to 23,000. That's about the size of a stadium back in the old days of the CFL, like in the 60s. You know, you get a big stadium so you can get the concerts in there and you can get the CFL games. Maybe get a huge event. Maybe get the FIFA World Cup, for instance. Or maybe you get, dare I say, the Commonwealth Games or the Olympics or something like that. I mean, they're so useful.
But they're so expensive.
No, if we had gone through with the Commonwealth Games thing and Peter Kelly hadn't pulled the plug on it because of a few naysayers.
If we had gone through with the Commonwealth Games, we would have been saddled with a multi-billion dollar deficit right now.
I'll tell you what happened in Edmonton because I got to witness it. There were a bunch of naysayers for the Commonwealth Games saying, oh no, we don't want a stadium, we don't need the... And everybody was humming and hawing, and the city council at the time said, no, we're going with Commonwealth Games, thank you very much. They rubber stamped the thing, and they still have Commonwealth Stadium there. It's still a great stadium.
But how long
all
did
the
it
concerts
take?
Started coming immediately to Edmonton. But they wouldn't stop. It was Vancouver, Toronto, and Montreal, and that was it. And then all of a sudden, Commonwealth Stadium was built, and Edmonton became a stopping place. And it eventually was paid for because it...
And that was going to be my next question. Yeah. You say eventually. How long did it take before the city was unsaddled with that debt?
But you can't... How much did it bring into the city? It's two completely different columns. It's apples and oranges because it also brought in the LRT, the light rail transit system, their rapid transit system.
Right.
If it wasn't for the Commonwealth Games, they wouldn't have had that either. And it strung everything together and people could go from the downtown. Now it's stretched from one end of the city to the other. And that never would have broken ground had it not been for the Commonwealth Games. So the debt in order to build this facility, they made up for with all of these other things. They became a world-class city all of a sudden. And I hate to say it, Halifax, but we are living in the dark ages. Halifax needs a stadium. All cities need a stadium. Haven't you ever played Sim City before? You need a stadium in there. It brings the people.
Does it really?
But it really does. If Peter Kelly had just gone ahead with this Commonwealth Games thing, we'd have a stadium now. And don't say, well, we'd have a big debt. All cities have debt. We'd also probably have a few more thousand people than we do now.
Oh, do you mean to tell me that you think that building a stadium would mean thousands of people would come to Halifax to live?
Yes. Believe it or not, it's not just because I'm a rock and roll fan and I like the big concerts. But I mean, having a professional ball team, having a professional stadium where you can get world-class concerts and things like that, people put that in the win side of the column when they decide where they're going to move. And if they're going to go to a city, they go, well, let's see what amenities do they have. And a stadium is one of those amenities that a city has. Yes, it definitely brings so much stuff.
No, but I mean, in order to sustain things like, you know, CFL, NHL, professional sports, you have to have fans that are going to pay that kind of money. And do we have a fan base here? Do we have a population that is well paid enough to be able to afford $150 tickets for this,
for
that,
CFL
and the other
game?
Thing?
I'll tell you, my father had season tickets to the Edmonton Eskimos most of my life, and it was a working class crowd that went to CFL games, without a doubt.
But that was back in the 70s and 80s.
No, but still, when you get a stadium that big, it's not like the arenas. Yes, the hockey tickets are expensive because you can only fit so many people in there. But CFL, you're pretty much not going to sell out the entire stadium for a CFL game. So the price of season tickets is not that high. Mm. And you can get a discount if you buy season tickets because they want people to go to the games and they want to rake that money in at the very beginning. So buying a package of season tickets for CFL is not that expensive. There aren't that many games either. I think there are, what, like 10 games in a football season?
It's begs the next question. Yeah. All right, that's 10 days that stadium is full. What do you do with it the rest of the time?
Well, I do believe we have a few universities here who their teams would love to use a world-class facility, you know, the field. Mm-hmm. Plus, usually when they build a stadium now, they have great workout facilities in there. They have maybe even a convention space. Oh, yeah. We don't always have to build in the downtown core, like the big convention center. We could have built that in the stadium as well. I mean, a lot of things. Look what they've done in Toronto with the Rogers Center there. They have a hotel in there even.
No doubt about it. I mean, it does turn a city into a world-class city, but I just think it would be a tough sell to have a multi-million dollar stadium, you know, downtown Dartmouth or on Shannon Parkland, wherever you're going to put it, and justify that to somebody who lives in HRM, say, down Hubbard's Way, that doesn't have proper transit service.
All of that infrastructure stays behind. You know, the Commonwealth Games move on and all the infrastructure stays behind. It's not always like the big disaster that was the Big O in Montreal and it just starts falling apart in front of everybody's eyes. Mm. And yeah, it is a tough sell. That's why you need a city council that has balls that just says, no, we are doing this. You know, everything that I hate about Harper, just doing it and full speed ahead and I don't care what you say. You know what? When you're a mayor of a city, occasionally you have to do that. When it comes to something like this. And Peter Kelly kept flipping coins and debating about things about like cat bylaws and things like
chickens.
That. And chickens. And the Commonwealth Games would have been here this year. And whatever infrastructure was built to accommodate those Commonwealth Games, we'd still have here. And the actual games, I'm telling you, you think the Tall Ships Festival brings people into this city? You have the Commonwealth Games here, and I saw it firsthand in Edmonton. A lot of people come here. That would have been one of our biggest summers, tourist-wise, ever, without a doubt. And then all of those tourists, if we show them a good time, and they have good facilities, and they like the city, they're going to tell their friends, Halifax is going, you know, it's a great advertising campaign for Halifax as well. How many countries watch the Commonwealth Games around the world? Like 5 now, right? The Commonwealth's getting smaller. But usually when you host a big sporting tournament event, the eyes of the world are on your city and it brings an incredible amount of money to your city.
Well, this economist says look for it in the next decade or so.
What? Oh, so we are getting... Oh. Never mind.
And finally, forget about the cloud and rework that mental image you might have of mysterious data centers. Sony has reinvented a tool for storing a mind-numbing amount of data, and it's called a cassette tape.
What?
I know. It's a record-breaking magnetic tape that they have developed that allows it to store 180 terabytes of data on a single cartridge. Now, that's about the same amount of storage that you would get on, well, almost 1,200 iPod Classics. It's a lot of space. And they've worked with IBM on this tape, presented the new technology last week at a conference in Germany. Now, in the simplest of terms, the technology involves shrinking the microscopic magnetic particles on tape that store the data. Mm-hmm. The same technology that was used with those rickety old plastic things you used to rewind with a pencil.
Wow, I think I got 2 rants in there.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Not bad for a man who really doesn't normally rant, but I'm starting to get into this. I like it. And if you don't like it, then tough shit. That's all I can tell you. It's a
get your own podcast.
Everybody is. But if you do like it, tell a friend or two. And really, let's keep this thing going.
Yeah.
It makes us happy anyway. Hopefully we make you happy.
And email us and let us know.
Yeah. At jamieandlisa@yahoo.ca. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Until then.